You are listening to the audio podcast of Gethsemane Baptist Church, located in Long Beach, California, pastored by Eli Reynolds.
All right. You know, missionaries, like other people, have bad dreams. Some people dream about boogeymen, others, you know, leaving behind an essential article of clothing. Missionaries dream about being late to a service, and so sometimes it happens. But anyway, it's good to be with you tonight. We're thankful for you to be one of our prayer-supporting and financial-supporting churches, and we're thankful to be one of your missionaries in the great state of New Mexico, and sometimes known as the state of confusion, and then also on the reservation, Navajo Reservation and the Zuni Reservation. And we've had some of you folks out to be with us. That's been quite a few years ago. We still think about the group from Gethsemane that came out, helped us with the Vacation Bible School, stayed in our house, and it was a good time. And we love to have it happen again. It was great, and we enjoyed it very much. And so, as I understand, you're having a missions month, and thankful to be part of that. And just having missions and missionaries on your heart is a good thing. And I'm thankful that you as a church are thinking about us. Now, with the video that you watched, you know, that's back in 2019. It's when we made that. But before COVID, you know, now we're kind of referring to things as pre-COVID and post-COVID. And so pre-COVID 19, you know, our ministry looked very different than it does now. The reservation of Zuni was very freely accessible. We'd go knock doors, put out flyers and things on people's doors to witness to them, and go into the jails, the Navajo jail, the Zuni jail. But now, just those things are not possible. And even to go into the village of Zuni, that's not allowed. It'd be like you know, trying to go onto a military base and not having the right credentials. You know, they just don't let you in. And so anyway, we are trying to formulate a new way of reaching people using technology. Since COVID, we've been uploading videos because on the weekend, it used to be on Saturday and Sunday, the whole Navajo tribe, covering 175,000 people over three different states, would be locked down. And so they would lock down the reservation where people could not or should not be out traveling, and really affected churches, especially meeting on Sunday. And so for the good deal of the pandemic, we have not had church service on Sunday. We would meet on Wednesday, and then we would upload messages for Sunday. Now they've rolled it back to where we can have service on Saturday. There's no lockdown, but we still don't have services on Sunday because there's still a lockdown where our people cannot get out and travel because they threaten them with fines and we don't want to be causing them to get fines and things like that. It'd be a bad testimony to the rest of the reservation. But anyway, we want to try and reach people with Bible studies that we were doing before in people's homes, and just using some technology. It's I'm not a very technologically advanced person. I can read time, and you know, I can make a phone call and sometimes make a video, but that's about the extent of it. But anyway, to make video of Bible study focusing on scripture, salvation, Jesus Christ, and also addressing problems that are affecting the reservation in great numbers: alcoholism, drug abuse, abuse in general, domestic violence, grief. There's just an endless number of things that sin has brought woe and hard times to people through, and they need the Lord. They need hope, and we want to try to bring hope to them, and there's nothing that brings hope like salvation. Amen. And so anyway, just trying to disseminate that information out to people, and so it's a matter of recording videos, getting them in a format where people can access, and then getting that information out through mass mailing and also advertisements on the internet like that. And so anyway, that's something we need your prayers about. And if anybody knows a lot about that, I need your instruction and schooling, and that would be a blessing and a help to us in many ways. So we are out for a couple of weeks trying to report to some churches here in California. We were about an hour and a half south this morning and had good services this morning. And so anyway, thank you so much for allowing us to come. Thank you for allowing us to be your missionaries. And so I want to be conscious of your time. And so let's take the Word of God and look into the Word of God tonight. I want to encourage you from the Word of God in missions and to keep on keeping on. And today we reap or miss our golden harvest. I love that song. And you know what? We can reap today, but we also need to plant today and water today. And realize that sometimes reaping, it may happen today and it may happen, a few years from now. But let's be conscious of that and doing what God has called us to do. All right, so Mark chapter number two. Verse number one, Mark chapter number two, verse number one, and I just want to look here at some principles that it will come out of the healing of the palsied man in the house where four of his friends, and these men were obviously friends because they went above and beyond what could have been done to help him get to Jesus. So Mark chapter number two. Excuse me, that's awkward to drink in front of folks, but I appreciate that. Mark chapter number 2 and verse 1. And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. Wouldn't it be wonderful to have it packed out that much, right? Oh, they'd be livid if this place was packed out to that extreme, but wouldn't it be great? But anyway, it says, they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? Jesus is God. Amen. And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit, they so reasoned within themselves, he said, ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thy house. And immediately arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this church. Thank you for your people who are assembled tonight. And Lord, we just pray your blessings upon them, each and every one. We pray your blessings upon their missions giving endeavor, Lord, the goals that they are setting for you, the desire that people have in their hearts to see people around this world saved by the gospel of Jesus Christ. We pray that you will help me tonight as the preacher to speak only the words which you'd have me to speak. And I pray for everyone here tonight, every person who is listening, that you would fill us with your spirit. Help us, Lord, to remove any distractions, Lord, that would prevent us from hearing what you would have us to. And God, would you call us to go above where we're at now? God, call us to do more. God, call us to live by faith. And Father, faith that is observed by our Savior. And God, I just pray that you'd help us to seek to please you and only do those things which are pleasing in your sight. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So I want to title the message tonight, Lessons from the Faith-Filled Four. Lessons from the Faith-Filled Four. And of course, we can see several people played a part in this story. There was, first and foremost, the Savior. The Savior. There would be no story. There would be no healing. There would be nothing without the Savior. For it tells us that it was noised abroad that Jesus, he was in the house there. He was there. He was preaching, and he was gathered there with the people to preach the word unto them. And they all packed in, and they all wanted to hear Jesus preach. And I tell you what, I would rather hear Jesus preach than myself tonight. And one day we will sit at his feet and we will hear him. But they all gathered to hear the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus, he preached the word unto them. And that's the most important thing that people need today. They need the preaching of the word of God. They need to understand that they are a sinner. They need to understand that Jesus, he is the only way to heaven, the way, the truth, and the life. And so the only thing that is going to convey that is the preaching of the word of God. It's essential that we preach the word of God. It's essential that we make the gospel known through Jesus Christ, the gospel known through the preaching of the word. Many people think it's foolish that we gather together. Some people think that it's a foolish thing to preach about this man, Jesus, but it is by this foolishness of preaching that people are made wise. It is by the foolishness of preaching that people are drawn unto God their Savior through unto Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's how the Holy Spirit works, through the preaching of the Word of God. And so not only do we have here the Savior involved in this, but we have a sinner involved in all of this. And it's interesting to note that the man that was brought to Jesus, doesn't say to him, young man or son, rise up and walk immediately. He refers to him and says, young man, your sins be forgiven you. Okay, he says that you are forgiven of your sins. It's important for us to know that the greatest healing that we need, the greatest change that we need, is one that is spiritual. A spiritual change. We need a new birth. We need not just reformation on the outside, but we need regeneration in our heart. We need God to change us from the inside, and there's nothing that can do that except for salvation. That's why Jesus was preaching the word of God unto them. Sure, he could have had a healing crusade, but nothing lasting or everlasting would have happened through that, only through the salvation of a soul. Thank God that Jesus would draw people unto himself, and you know what? He could heal them all, and he did heal them all when they would come unto him. But the most important thing is that they would be saved, that they would be born again. And so this man was a sinner, and certainly this house was filled with many people that would be identified as sinners. In fact, this house is filled with many people who identify as sinners. That's me right here. I'm a sinner. We're all sinners. We've all come short of the glory of God, and we all need the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. I tell you what, we can put on a suit and a tie, and we can comb our hair, and we can look nice, but you know what? We need the Savior, same Savior that the man or the woman who's out there on the street needs. They need a Savior terribly, and without him, they're going to go to hell. But if there's anybody in here tonight, though we may be dressed up nicely, if we don't have salvation, we don't have Jesus Christ in our heart, you will go to the same hell that the person who is on Skid Row will go to. You will go to the same hell as an alcoholic or a drug addict. And so the Savior is essential. We need the Lord Jesus Christ. And in this story, the man needed Jesus more than anything else. Needed Jesus more than he needed to walk. Needed Jesus more than he needed the function and use of his legs. He needed the Lord Jesus Christ. And next thing that we see in this story, as it all comes together, is that we have servants. And my, how God is able to use those who are willing to be used by him. You know, God just needs somebody to fill in a gap. God needs somebody just to fill in a place, to make up a hedge and to be a servant. And that's what the Lord is just calling us to do, to fill in a gap, to make up a hedge, to be a servant where we are. It may be that if you're a servant where you are, God might want to call you to be a servant somewhere else. But to serve God is what we are called to do. And it's a privilege to serve God. It's a great thing to serve God. It's a wonderful thing to serve God. You know what? It's a wonderful thing to serve God on the reservation. So many times we go to churches or we hear from people and they say, oh, how do you like it there on the reservation? Is it okay? Do you miss very many things? Aside from missing family, it's home. Yeah, there's bumpy and muddy dirt roads that we go down during the wintertime. And you know what? There's some things that, you know, we've had to get accustomed to over the years. But where we are in God's will is home to us. And when you're in the center of God's will and wherever you're at, if this is where God wants you, you can be content with that. You can be content where God has put you. And so I talked to a brother this morning. I had seen him the last time, probably 15 years prior, and we were talking about it. And I said, I didn't know if you were going to be here or not at church. And he said, brother, you just need to go down and repent. He said, because, you know, God, I'm not going anywhere until God moves me. I'm not going anywhere until it's time to go. And that's the attitude we ought to have with where God has us at. I'm going to serve God right here. I'm going to live for God right here. And if God wants me to go, God's going to tell me. He's going to let me know. And so have this prayer in your heart. God, is there anything I can do for you? Is there anywhere I can go for you? And Lord, just make it known unto me. And you know what? God will. God will make it known unto us. Whatever he wants us to do, wherever he wants us to be, God will make it known unto us. So let's be servants unto the Lord. Well, back to the message. That was just a little bit of an announcement there. Back to the message, and we have the servants here. We have four men, and these men are the best friends beside the Lord Jesus Christ that this sick of the palsied man could ever have. They went above and beyond. They were true friends, and they saw that he had a need. He had a physical need, and he had a spiritual need. These men, they knew that there was somebody who could help, and it was Jesus. The task of utmost importance that there is that we bring people unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Anything else that we do is a means to that end. Anything else we do for God, the singing, the fellowship, the bus routes, the visitation, whatever it is that we do is all a means to the end of bringing people to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and so that we might introduce them unto the Savior. Well, these servants, they did some things that worked. You realize that what they did worked? They recognized that there was a problem. They recognized that there was only one person who could solve it, and it wasn't them. You know, a lot of times we get lifted up in thinking that we are bigger or better than we truly are, and that we have done something. But, you know, the Apostle Paul, he saw himself as being small. He saw himself as being the least of all the saints and the greatest of all the sinners. And you know what? That's what we need to see ourselves at, is that without Jesus, we can do nothing. And when we have that ideal about ourselves and we have that ideal about who we are, then Jesus Christ can be lifted up to the preeminence that he truly deserves. They recognize the problem. They recognize the Savior is the only one who could solve it. And then they utilize teamwork. Mark chapter 2, verse number 3 says, they came, come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. You realize it wouldn't have worked if they had three? Man, that fella, they'd have left him back down the road if they had only had three, or somebody said, hold on, fellas, I got to go do something. They needed four. They needed four. They needed four people to work together to carry that man. They needed four faithful men. They needed four available men. They needed four committed men to help this man out. Teamwork works. Amen? Teamwork works. And a church, a family, whether it's a blood family or whether it's a blood-bought family, we are a team, we are a family in Christ, we are a body, and a body has to work together, or it doesn't work at all, right? A body has to work together, or it doesn't work at all. This man who was sick of the palsy, his body didn't work. His body was fighting against itself. You know what? If a church is fighting against itself, it can never work. If a church has a schism or a church just, you know, has a hiccup there and it doesn't get along and it doesn't communicate and it doesn't do right, it can't do the work that God has for it to do. I tell you what, God has a great work for us to do. God has a great work for you to do, church, and let's never forget that we need to work together. Luke chapter number 5, verse number 18, tells us that they sought means to bring him in. They thought about it. They thought about it. They considered it well. They reasoned in their mind, how can we bring this person to Jesus? You know what? That's a good thing to do. We need to think about how can we reach people and bring people to Jesus Christ. And then set forth and do it together. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27 tells us, only let your conversation or your way of life, your manner of life, and the life that you live before others be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. You know what? It begins with ourselves, first of all, that we need to focus on following the Lord Jesus Christ and making it where our life speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, my first preacher, he would say, your walk talks and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. And so we need to make sure that we speak of the Lord and we speak about the Lord and we speak to the Lord and we speak to others about the Lord, but we need to make sure that our life speaks about the Lord as well. But then it goes on to say that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. You know what? That's a good mission statement to have. That's a good mission statement for any Christian or any church or church group to have. A Sunday school class, that we're going to strive together for the faith of the gospel. We're going to work together. Have you ever realized that you get twice as much or three times as much or 10 times as much done the more people you have working together? Isn't it a wonderful thing? You know, in the days when you had bus routes, if you had one person working a bus route, you get a little bit done. But you get two, you get a lot more done. You get five, you get way more done, all right? And so that's the same way it works in the church. You got a dirty church, get a bunch of people and it'll get done like that, right? And you need to reach people in mass. You want to put things on people's doors. It gets done quick when you have the whole flock out to do something like that. And when you reach people, you do it together, a lot gets accomplished. They utilize teamwork. Another thing we can see here is they minimized obstacles. Verse number 2, it tells us, straightway many were gathered. Verse number 2, straightway many were gathered together, insomuch there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door, and he preached the word unto them. So there was an obstacle, all right? Jam-packed, so full, nobody could get in. People were listening in through the openings and the windows and so forth, but nobody could get in. So they had this obstacle, and they were going to do something about it. Luke chapter 5, verse 19 says, when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went up upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. They thought about it, they talked about it, and they came up with a plan and they did it. What amazing thought. Talk about it, make a plan, and do it. And so they minimized obstacles. They went around, and you know what? In the work of God, if we're working for God, there's going to be some obstacles. There's going to be some obstacles. I tell you what, the last thing I want to be is a speed bump. You know what happens to speed bumps? They get ran over all the time. I don't want to be a speed bump in the way of God's work. And I don't want to be a hindrance either. But you know what? I want to overcome obstacles. I want to overcome any obstacle that's in the way. You know what? Sometimes you might have obstacles in your life that would seem to hinder you. The Apostle Paul talked about some of the obstacles that he had. He said there was something that he prayed would go away three different times. He asked God to remove it. It seemed like it was an obstacle to him. He said it was a thorn in his flesh. Have you ever had a thorn in your flesh? It doesn't feel good when you get a thorn in your flesh. You get a burr in your saddle or a burr in your shoe or something like that. It doesn't feel good. It hurts and you want to get it out. But this man, he had a thorn in his flesh, and he prayed and said, God, remove it, God, remove it. God, remove this. And God said, no, my grace is better. My grace will be sufficient for you. You need to trust in me. You can get more done when you're weak than when you're strong. That's amazing. God says we can get much more done when we're weak than when we're strong. God can do much more with us when we're down than when we're up. You know what? In the valley is when God is good. In the valley is when God, he is with us, when his right hand is upon us. In the valley is when his rod and his staff comforts us. You know what? We need God more than we need good times. Amen? We need God much more. We need his presence. We need his power. And if the Lord would allow us to, even if we are going through some obstacle in our life, whether it's a physical obstacle, maybe a sickness, maybe it's a disability or something like that, God can still do great things. And God still wants to do great things to us. Sometimes we bring obstacles into our own lives as well. We can call those things sin. You know, we're encouraged in Hebrews chapter number 12 to run the race that with patience that's set before us, to look unto Jesus. Before we can do that, we've got to lay aside every weight and the sin. You know what? Sin has a definite way of creeping up into our lives, a definite way of just creeping into our life. And we don't want it there. Our spirit obviously doesn't want it there. The Spirit of God within you does not desire sin. And the Spirit of God that bears witness with our spirit leads us unto righteousness. But you know what? We live in a body of flesh. And this old flesh tends to do the wrong thing, does it not? But I tell you what, God wants us to live in victory. God wants to overcome the obstacle and does not want us to be plowed under by sin. God doesn't want us to be the obstacle, and God doesn't want us to be a speed bump on life's heavenly highway. Amen. Well, they minimized obstacles. They moved things out of the way that were in the way, and they exercised faith. Did you know faith is not just, it's not a noun, really. Faith is a verb. I'm not an English teacher, and I don't plan to be one. But you know what? Faith is something that works. Faith is something that does. And these men's faith could be seen. Their faith could be observed. Their faith is something that worked. Let's read here in verse number 5. It says, when Jesus saw their faith, he saw their faith. And it doesn't just say that in the book of Mark. Look over in Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. Verse number 2, behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed, and Jesus seeing their faith. Jesus saw their faith. And then in the book of Luke, it tells us in the book of Luke as well that Jesus saw their faith. Luke chapter number 5, if I can find it. Luke chapter number 5, if you'd like to turn over there, but it does say again that Jesus saw their faith. And so I think it's important if he put it in Matthew, if he put it in Mark, and if he put it in the book of Luke, it's important for us to note that faith is something that needs to be seen. Look at Luke chapter 5, verse 20, when he saw their faith. Faith is not it's not a feeling, though if you have faith, it's going to feel good. Amen. It's going to feel good if you have faith, if you exercise that faith. But faith is something that can be seen and should be seen. Faith is something that works in our life, and it's meant to work. That's what faith does. That's what it's meant to do. I'll tell you what, look over there here with me in Philippians. Philippians, and Philippians chapter number 2. And verse number 12. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 12. It says, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only. Something good to note. It's good to obey when the preacher's gone, as well as when he's around. But now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Work out, outward work of your own salvation, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and do of his good pleasure. You realize salvation has to work within before it can work without. There is a other church group around in the area that has the philosophy that salvation begins on the outside. That, you know, you feel good and you get, you know, you get in and God does something on the outside, and then later on you get it on the inside. And I had to tell a person who follows that, I said, that's not the way it works. It's God that works in you first. You must be born again of the Spirit of God for there ever to be a change on the outside that lasts. And so it's God working in you both the will and do of His good pleasure. And what does God want to do? He wants to work out your salvation. God wants to exercise that salvation. He wants to exercise that faith that has worked in your life and changed your heart and changed you to change somebody else. Their faith was exercised. Let our work be a work of faith that it may please God. I do believe that we need to work for God. Amen. But if our work is not a work of faith, what is it worth? What is it worth? A work of the flesh counts for nothing. Amen. Let's not have works of the flesh to our account. Let's work for God by faith and allow God to work through us. Be yielded unto the Lord and be submitted and surrendered unto God. And then let's go on here. The next thing, they realized the results. So we see here that this group of four who had faith, they utilized teamwork. They recognized the problems. They minimized the obstacles. They exercised faith, and they realized the results. Luke chapter 5, verse number 23. Luke 5:23. It says, Jesus said, whether is it easier to say thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say arise up and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins. He said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy couch, go into thy house. Just one thought before we get to the point here that I see is that these men, if they had not taken these steps, if they had not realized this man needed help, Jesus is the only one who could help, if they had not realized that they had to work together, if they had not taken the obstacles out of the way and took him up on that roof and tore up the roof and lowered him down, if they had not went through those steps, then they would not be hearing Jesus say, rise up and walk. They wouldn't be hearing Jesus say, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. The friend that they have or had would not have received what he needed the most. And so it's very important for us in our life. If we don't take the right steps in faith, that someone may miss out. Someone may miss out. May miss out on salvation. I don't know. They may miss out on meeting the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the Apostle Paul, he told, I think it was Timothy, you know, that I have no man naturally, you know, who is naturally fitted to care for your state as far as the people he was sent to or the person he was sending. And, you know, I think that means that there's somebody that you're supposed to tell about Christ. And maybe somebody only you can tell about the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe somebody only you can identify with. Somebody only you can communicate with. And if you don't communicate the gospel to them, that person may miss out. If there's somebody that I'm supposed to witness to or I'm supposed to communicate with the gospel of Jesus Christ and I don't do what I'm supposed to do, that person could spend eternity in the lake of fire. I think that's a very sobering thought when we take that thought to its end conclusion and realize that this is not a game. This is not a game. Christianity and the life that we have in Christ, faith, it's not a game. It's fun. It's exciting. It's fulfilling. It's the best thing that you could ever do is serve God, right? But it's serious. It's serious. It's life or death. I tell you what, the man who was laying on that bed, who couldn't move his legs, maybe he couldn't move his arms, he was sick of the palsy, I guarantee you it was serious to him. It was serious to him. He wanted the help. He wanted to know. He wanted to meet Jesus. He wanted to see Jesus. I've never met a person who sincerely did not want to know where they were going when they died. I know there's some people out there who claim to be, they're atheists, and they don't believe in God, don't believe in heaven and stuff. They talk a big talk, but really, in their heart of hearts, when everything's quiet, when nobody else is around, and the pain that they're feeling on the inside creeps up, who do they cry out to? They cry out to somebody. They want to know. They want to know. And it's real. And it's real, and we need to be mindful of that. So let's get back to it here. They realize the results. They realize the results. This is the last point I want to give you tonight. It says, verse 25, immediately he rose up before them and took that whereon he lay and departed to his own house, glorifying God, and they were all amazed. And they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things today. Now it says they were all amazed. I wonder if that's including the four guys that were up on the roof looking down. I don't know. I mean, maybe they were amazed and maybe they weren't. Maybe they're just like, yeah, I knew Jesus would do it, right? I knew Jesus could do it. That's why we brought him. But I tell you what, it's an amazing thing when God does what God does. When God does what he does, when he saves a soul and when he changes a life, it's an amazing thing. It says that they were all amazed when they saw it. But you know, we should always have that amazement about the things that God does. But here's an interesting thought. Those times where God does amazing things in our lives and the lives of others that we know, and through our labor for him and through faith, wouldn't it be wonderful if those times were more often? Don't we have a hungering and a thirsting in our soul to see revival in our life, to see revival in our country and see God move in a great way? We want that, right? We have a hungering in our heart for that to happen, and we pray for it, and we we facilitate it, and we want that to happen. But wouldn't it be wonderful if it happened all the time? It's like, yeah, that's what God does, right? God showed up here. God saved this person, and it's just like God to do things like that. You know, that's what faith does. Faith believes that God is able to do that which only God can do. Faith believes that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that works in us. You know, God, I believe, wants our faith to be increased. I know I need my faith to be increased. I need my faith to grow. In church, I would say we all need our faith to grow. But another thing that we need is for our faith to be worked out. The prayer of our heart tonight could be, God, increase my faith, and God, work out my faith. God, help my faith to be strengthened in my Savior, to know and believe and see that you are able to do that which you have done in the past and that you're still able to do it now. God, that you're not done. What's the prayer of your heart tonight? Do you need God to do something big in your life? Maybe it's salvation. Maybe there's somebody here tonight that been struggling with salvation and you don't know and you need to get it settled. It's a matter of faith. Do you believe that God can save you? Do you believe that God can do the saving? So many people I talk to think they have to try harder, they have to do better so that they can be saved. No, no, no. Jesus did it all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. And you know what? Jesus finished it on the cross. Our faith needs to be increased. Our faith needs to be strengthened. Let's learn these lessons from the faith-filled four.